51st Psalm. Psalm 51. And while you're turning, let me mention Jim Fawcett. They had to go in today and open him up and take a blood clot out of his lung. They said it's the largest blood clot they'd ever seen that a man survived from. They tried to get it out through his femoral artery and couldn't. He's down at Vanderbilt. And Debbie was going to get to go in and see him, and we may know now. I haven't looked. But he's had an awful big blood clot in his lung. And they tried to get rid of it, and then they couldn't, so they had to go in and open him up and take it. So he's in bad shape, terrible shape. He just went from brain bleeding now to clotting. So you all, please remember that, them folks. I tell you that I honestly didn't think he would make it, but the Lord had mercy on him. Had mercy on him. All right, let's read the first 10 verses of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and be clear when you judges. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Our Father, in the blessed, glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord Jesus, we come looking to you, needing you, wanting you, asking for your power and presence in this service today in both the speaker and the hearer. But Lord, our hearts are heavy for Jim and Debbie. Lord, they're going through a great fight of afflictions here, great trial. And Lord, I ask that you give them abundance of grace, give her grace and strength. And Lord, if you be pleased to raise Jim back up and restore his health to him, Lord, we'd be ever so grateful to you, and we'd bless and praise your name. But Lord, we know we're all in your hand, and we know you'll always do exactly right by every one of us. It's impossible for you to do wrong, and everything that happens, happens for our good and your glory. I know that. I believe it with all my heart. And so I rest myself in you, and I bring them to you, and know that, Lord Jesus, you'll care for them. You'll provide their needs and meet the needs of their hearts, their souls, and their bodies, as it seemeth good in your sight and according to your holy will. And Father, we pray again for our children, lost children, Doogie, Lenny, our grandchildren, those they're with. Oh Lord, they're sinners. Sinners, sinners, sinners. And Lord, they're nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, you come to save sinners. And I pray that you'd send the Holy Spirit and deal with them, convince them, trouble them over their sin. And we ask you to do this for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Look back with me now into this 51st Psalm. I'm going to deal with the first 10 verses, if the Lord would enable me. And he starts out by saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions," he said in verse 3, "for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that when you judge me, you might be justified and speak, you be clear when you judge me." Now, David here is heartbroken over his sin. He's heartbroken over his sin. He's repenting. He's confessing. But this is the same man who wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies." And oh, listen, I tell you, this is the same man who said, "The Lord is my shepherd." This is the same man who said in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. He will not chide, nor he will not be angry forever. For he knoweth that we are but dust." He knows our frame, that we are but dust. And he pities us for that. But this psalm here that he's writing, the psalm here that he's singing, is after Nathan came to him and told him, says, "David, you're the man. You're the man that took somebody else's lamb. You're the man who took it away. You're the man who took another man's wife. You're the man who killed that woman's husband. You're that man. Premeditatedly murdered him." And so this is where David's at. It's where David's at. How many times have we said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and then all of a sudden have a day when we feel the weight and the guilt of our sins? How many times have we said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name," and then some days you get up and you can't hardly go, your sins and your transgressions and the weight of your loathsomeness just weighs you down. Well, I've broke this down into five parts. And the first two verses 1 and 2, is David's desire for mercy. He desires mercy. The verses 3 and 4 is his confession of his sin. Confession of sin. Verse 5 and 6 is the cause, the root, the problem of his sin. And verses 7 and 8 is the remedy, what God does. And verses 9 and 10, the blessed and glorious results of David's seeking mercy. And then, so he starts out here. Let's look at this first part. "Have mercy upon me, O God." Now he's saying, "Have mercy to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." It's one thing for God to have tender mercies. He said, "According to the multitude of thy tender mercies." And what David is saying, said, "Lord, don't treat me like I deserve. Don't treat me the way that I am. Treat me according to your nature, according to your tender mercies, according to your loving kindness. You have mercy on me, not because of my nature, but I'm looking to your nature, your goodness, your loving kindness, your mercies. That's what I'm looking to. According to your multitude of your tender mercies." And how many people do you reckon in the Scripture sought mercy? How many people? You go through the Gospels. You got that sinner after the Pharisee bragged with himself. And there's that publican. He couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, smote upon his breast. And he says, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." That Syrophoenician woman, her daughter had a devil. She's sick, bad shape. And our Lord, she came to the Lord Jesus, and the first words out of her mouth was, says, "Lord, wilt thou have mercy upon my daughter?" Have mercy upon my daughter. Bartimaeus, when the Lord Jesus passed by, he said, Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, wilt thou have mercy on me? And beloved, God treat us according to his nature. And if he treated us according to our nature, we wouldn't have mercy. But I tell you what, according to our nature and according to the condition we're in, that's what we ask for. I forget which preacher says all the time, we're beggars, mercy beggars, mercy beggars. And that's what he's talking about here. Oh Lord, please, please give me your tender mercies. Don't treat me like I am. Treat me according to your nature. Now I know this about God. God is love. And I know this, that God could have saved as many people as he chose to save. He could have saved the whole human race had he pleased him. But one thing I know he couldn't have done, because he is love, and he has loving kindness, and he has a multitude of tender mercies. One thing he could not have done on account of his nature, he could not have damned the whole race. He couldn't do it. It's against his very nature. His nature is a full of mercy. His heart is full of mercy. Our Lord says, What will you that I should do to you? Lord, be merciful to me. Lord, look at me. Look, what have I got to offer? What can I do? What can I bring in my hands? David said, The only thing I can bring is my sin and my iniquity. So, Lord, don't treat me like I am. Treat me the way you are. And that's what he says. Oh, Lord, according to your tender mercies. And look what he says. Blot them out my transgressions. And then he says, wash me through. You're so full of tender mercies. You have such a loving kindness that wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Do it according to your mercy. Do it according to your loving kindness. Do it according to the multitude of your tender mercies. So he sought mercy. And I tell you one, I know this much. If you ever start seeking the Lord for mercy, you'll never stop seeking him for mercy. You'll just never, ever do that, will you? How many times a day do you reckon you, in your personal life, ask the Lord, Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my children. Mercy on my home. Mercy on my wife who's sick. Mercy on my people in the church. Oh Lord, please be merciful. Be merciful. And then look what he says in verses 3 and 4. So he starts out seeking for mercy. Then look what he does. Why he needs mercy. He said, For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Oh, he starts confessing his sin. And look, I want you to notice he said, I acknowledge my transgressions. He wasn't acknowledging somebody else's transgressions. He wasn't pointing out what somebody else did. He's talking about himself. And he says, My sin is ever before me. My sin, not somebody else's sin. Not somebody else's transgression. And we cannot confess somebody else's sin. The only sin we can confess is our own. And I tell you something else, and I know this much about us, that we commit sins that we don't even know we're committing, so we just have to confess of what we are. Oh, listen, and a Pharisee, he worries over everybody else's sin. Points out other people's sins. But a believer, he's only concerned for his sin. For his sin. And I tell you, I know this, and that's what David said here. Said, I acknowledge my transgressions. Can't acknowledge somebody else's transgressions. And my sin's ever before me. And look what he says now. You know who I sinned against? Against thee only have I sinned. What David is saying, that though I committed adultery with Bathsheba, though I had her husband murdered, I put him in a position where he would be slain, He said, though I've done these sins, I sinned against my own body, I sinned against her, I sinned against him, I sinned against Israel. But when it's all said and done, because I did not walk upright before you, I did not keep my eyes from beholding vanity. I went against everything in my heart. I went against everything in your word. I went against everything that you taught me. I went against everything there is. And I went ahead and done it anyway. And I've done it in your sight. I've done this evil in your sight. And oh my. That's something to think about. We do in God's sight. God's watching us. And then David says it like this, that you might be justified. Whenever I'm confessing what I did against you. I'm confessing what I've done, my sin, my transgressions, my iniquities, the evil that I've done in your sight, I confess in them so that when you judge me, and when you speak about my sin, when you deal with me like you did through Nathan the prophet, said, you are the man. You're justified to talk to me that way. You're perfectly justified to judge me because I've not got an iota of a leg to stand on. I'm confessing my sin. I'm confessing my sin. Now, it's awful for us to sin against one another. But when it's all said and done, it's against the Lord that we sin. And you know what makes it so awful is that we sin against light. And we sin against love. We sin against, I shouldn't say we, I say I. I shouldn't always say we. I say, you know what? Me. Let's talk about me. When I sin against light. I sin against the Scriptures. I sin against my own conscience. No, y'all don't do that. No. No, but so when God judges us, right? We can't say that. Lord, we can't do like Adam did, said it's the woman you gave me. Can't do that. We can't say, well, if you hadn't have put me in this circumstances, I wouldn't have done that. If so-and-so hadn't treated me this way, I wouldn't have acted that way. I heard a fellow say one time, he says that when you have the desire and you have a lust or a desire to do something, you better pray that God in His providence don't let your desire and the temptation come together at the same time. God not let your providence get it, and then when Don't let your... Somebody said, I wouldn't have done what David did. Well, you ain't never met your Bathsheba. That's the thing. You know, you just never met Bathsheba yet. And I hope you never do. I hope you never do. And I certainly hope I don't. You know. Look over here. Let's go to the third one. Oh, a confession of sin and seeking mercy. Look at verse 5 and 6. Look at the cause, the root of his sin, the root of him confessing, the root of what he did. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And that's the cause. That's why David was the way he was. That's why he confessed his sin. You know why he was a sinner? Because he is conceived in sin. When his mother and daddy conceived, they conceived a child just exactly like they are. With a sinful nature. With a nature against God. With a nature that don't love God. With a nature that's... You know, I was shapen in iniquity. When I was in my mother's womb, I was shapen. I was shaping. I was a child. I was just a little tiny thing in there. But I was conceived. I was born in sin. I was born a sinner. People don't sin you know, don't become sinners when they commit sin. They're born sinners, and they commit sins because they're sinners. Why we do what we do is because of who we are, what we are. And that's what David said here. Said, Lord, said, I don't have a leg stand. This is the way I was born. This is the way I was conceived. And everything about me is absolutely wrong. I was born wrong. I need you to do something for me. And oh, listen, I was born in sin, conceived in sin. And Lord, I ask for your mercies. I ask for your tender mercies. I ask for your loving kindness. I ask you to blot out my transgressions. I ask you to wash me thoroughly. Because of the way I was born, I can't change my nature, but you can. And look what he says there in verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. What David's saying, you desire something that I cannot produce. You desire something that just is not in me. He just got through saying, I was shaped in iniquity, I was conceived in sin. And yet, you desire truth in here. In the heart, in the soul, in the mind, in the affections, and everything there is about you. You desire something that I can't produce. Truth in the inward parts. Truth in the heart. Truth in that soul. And I know this about God. I know this, that He looks at the heart. He looks at the desires. He looks at the motives. And oh, He said, listen. He said, you desire truth in the inward parts. And that's where I failed at. It was my inward parts. That's where I failed. It was in my heart. It was in my eyes. It was in my head. It was in my emotions. It was in my affections. And that's what happened to me. And then look what he said here. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You desire truth in the inward parts, and then there's a hidden part. A part that only God knows about. A part that only God Himself knows about. That God Himself has a part in us that He hides things in us. He puts things in us. And He says, you make me to know wisdom. And what does David mean by that? He says, you make me to know exactly what you require. You make me to know that you require truth, a broken and contrite heart, a broken spirit, contrite spirit, that you require truth not only in what we say, you desire truth in what we think, you desire truth in what we say, you desire truth in what we do, and anything short of that, Lord, you won't accept. And you come and you put that hidden wisdom in my heart, and you made me understand what you require of me. And Lord, and that's why I'm acknowledging my transgressions. I don't have that. Don't have it. And Lord, if you don't give it to me. And look what he says here then in verse 6 and 8, 7 and 8. Then he says, oh, here's the remedy. Here's the remedy. Oh, Lord, is there anything can be done? He said, purge me with hyssop. You know what hyssop is? It's a little old plant that grows that over in the eastern countries, and just a little old slip of a bush, a slip of a plant. And the first time you find it used, you know where the first time they use it at? At the Passover. They dip that hyssop in the blood, and see, it wouldn't hold very much, so it wouldn't drip. And he says, you put that blood on the post of the door and across the lintel, down the sides. The first time hyssop was used there. And hyssop was what they used to cleanse the leper with. And that's what David says, you purge me, you cleanse me, you purify me with hyssop. Like you took that hyssop and dipped it in the blood and you put it on those boards. Take me and apply that hyssop to me. Dip it in the blood and apply it to me. Take that hyssop and make it to be something that you apply to me. And that's what he says here. If you purge me with hyssop, and that word purge means to be made purified, to be made clean, to be made whole, to be made perfectly clean. And that's what David said. If you purge me with hyssop, if you do that, I'll be clean. I'll be clean. Oh my. Not only that, but he says, wash me. Wash me. And when God washes a man, what happens to a man or a soul when God washes that man? When God washes him now, what happens to him? What does it say? Wash me, and I should be white as snow. If God, you know, for God to wash it. Simon Peter told the Lord, you know, when he said, ask the Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And he said, if I don't, I don't have no part with you. Simon said, Lord, start my head, get my hand, and go all over. That's what David said. He said, just clean me all over, wash me all over. And that's what they said. If you purge me and you take this hyssop that you put in that blood, if you put that blood on me and you purify me with that blood and you purge my sins with that blood, I will be clean. And I tell you what, if you wash me, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Red blood takes black sinners and makes them white as snow. You know, to me, now I don't know about you all, you may not feel this way, but when we get a big snow where I live, nobody don't move, nobody don't travel. And you look out over that, and it's on the trees, it's on the yard, it's down the road. And it's just snow white. You have to wear sunglasses to get out in it much if the sun's shining on it. And it's just white. And you just hate to even walk in it because you know it looks so good. David said, listen. He said, you make me whiter than snow itself. If you wash me. Oh, Lord, wash me, wash me, wash me. I'm like Simon Peter. Watch me, Lord. Watch me. And then look what else happens if he does it. No, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be white as the snow. And then make me to hear joy and gladness. Oh, I start out asking for mercy. And he confessed his sin, confessed his transgressions. And then he comes down here and he says why he's just the way he is, because he's shaping in iniquity. And then all of a sudden said, Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear it. Where are you going to hear joy and gladness from? There ain't but one person can make you joyful and happy, and that's the Lord. When he washes you and cleanses you, David says, make me to hear joy and gladness. You make me to hear it. I can't hear it if you don't make me. And oh, blessed are they that hear that joyful sound, that know that joyful sound. He said, make me to hear joy. Let me hear that joy from heaven. Let me hear the joy of knowing that you've washed me. Let me hear the joy of knowing that you cleansed me. Let me hear the joy that you showed me mercy. Let me hear that joy. Let me have that gladness in my heart. Let me be glad and full of joy. Let me be glad that you have done what I asked you to do, that you've washed me, that you cleansed me, that you purged me. Oh, make me to hear it. Make me to hear it. And oh, and listen here, look what he says, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Now, God didn't break his bones, but he made him suffer so bad that he said it was like I had bones out of joint, that my bones felt like they hurt. I suffered pain over my sin, over my transgression, over what I did. That's what he said. So you make the bones, that inward part of me, that part that makes up my body and everything about it, that you've broken, may they rejoice. May my whole body be taken up in rejoicing, in rejoicing. And oh, you know, and only God can make us do that. And look at the last thing here. Look at the results. Look at these results right here. Look at verses 9 and 10. Here's the result of him seeking mercy. Here's the result of him confessing his sin. Here's the result of the awful condition that he was born in. And after God purged him and cleansed him and gave him the remedy, then he said, "Oh Lord," look what he says, "hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquity." Hide your face. He said, "My sins are there." But he said, "Lord, hide your face from them, would you? Not look at them. Don't look at them anymore. Please don't look at them. Don't look at my sins. But oh, hide your face from them. And blot out all mine iniquities." He says, he blots them out as a thick cloud. Cast them as behind his back, as far as east is from the west. And oh, Lord, hide, blot, sins. Don't remember my sins. Blot them out. Put them away from me. And then don't look at them. Because if you look at me, you're going to see nothing. And if we look at ourselves, what do we see? And that's why David started out asking for mercy. Started out asking for mercy. And then look what he says last of all. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." My heart got filthy. My heart got dirty. Got dirty with sin. Got dirty with lust. Got dirty with desire. He said, "Create in me a clean heart." And you know he says, "Create." He don't say, "Take this old heart and mend it up." He didn't say, "Take this heart, do the best you can with it." He didn't say, "Lord, you know my heart." He says, "Lord, create in me a clean one." You take away that dirty one, that nasty one, that one's polluted, that one that I was shaping in iniquity in, conceived in sin. Take that away and create in me a heart that's clean, a heart that's pure. Don't leave me with the one I was born with. Don't leave me with the one that I inherited. Don't leave me with that. And May says, and I'm the one responsible for my sin. Even though I was shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin, I take the blame for my sin because I sinned against you. And then look what he says. "And renew a right spirit within me." He said, not only is I need a new heart, my spirit's all wrong too. My spirit's wrong in my attitude. My spirit's wrong. Renew it. Renew my spirit. Make my spirit right. Make my spirit desire you. Make my spirit to go out after you. Oh, and he says in the margin, says, "Make my spirit constant." Constant. Make it true. Make it loving. Make it love you. Make it love truth. Make it always and ever ready to acknowledge that I need mercy. And all I do in and of myself is sin. And so, Lord, if you don't create in me and keep me and wash me and blot out my transgressions. And, oh, Lord, you done it. You do it. God's the one that's got to do it. We can't do it for ourselves. Can't do it for ourselves. Our blessed Savior, oh gracious eternal Father, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask for an abundance of mercy. Oh, and you so abound in mercy. You delight in mercy. And Lord, I need your mercy here. As much as anybody in this building, as much as anybody I know, need your mercy. And Lord, I know Jim and Nancy need your mercy. They need a multitude of your tender mercies right now. They need a multitude of your loving kindness right now. They need you to be their strength. They need you to be their stay. They need you to be their comfort. They need you, Lord. Oh, they need you so. And help us to remember them, pray for them, uphold them. And may we pray for one another and care for one another. Never, ever, ever think that we if are anything or known anything or can do anything without you and your blessed grace. Help us, please, to honor you by loving one another, being patient and kind and generous to one another. Lord, keep your dear people as they go home tonight. We ask it in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good night. God bless you. See you Sunday, Lord willing. Mm-hmm.